How y'all doing? How y'all doing? How y'all doing? After getting everything figured out, we are finally back on the air. Welcome to NBA Clutch Time, presented by the Playmakers Radio and hosted by your man, yours truly, Brandon Burroughs, aka Yasha the Beast. So, there are some things that have been happening throughout the day of free agency opening up, and there's been some crazy moves. There's been some expected moves, and there's definitely been some unexpected moves. So, y'all know what I say. We gonna get right into it. So, let's start off with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Signed a 5-year, $172 million contract extension with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Spencer Dinwiddie is nearing a deal as we speak with the Washington Wizards. Trae Young just signed a 5-year, $207 million contract with the Atlanta Hawks. That's right, young brother, go get your money, go get your money. actually, Semi Ojeleye has agreed to a 1-year deal with the Bucks. Max Strus is returning to the Miami Heat on a 2-year, $3.5 million deal. Blake Griffin and the Brooklyn Nets mutually agreed on a 1-year deal for him to stay with the Nets. Norman Powell is returning to the Portland Trail Blazers on a 5-year, $90 million deal. The New Orleans Pelicans found a way to get Devontae Graham on a 4-year, $47 million contract. So that was definitely a big pickup for them, especially after losing, here's another person, Lonzo Ball to the Chicago Bulls. It looks like the Rockets are going to use the Oladipo trade exception and work a sign-and-trade with the Chicago Bulls so that they get Daniel Tice and the Bulls get Victor Oladipo. That is going to be something that's kind of crazy. Cody Zeller had agreed to a 1-year deal with the Portland Trail Blazers. That's a pretty good plus for them. Alex Caruso, 4 years, $37 million to the Chicago Bulls. So Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso are together again. So far, the Knicks have kept all of their key free agents. So Derrick Rose, Nerlens Noel, Alec Burks. And they ended up getting Evan Fournier. Basically, to follow that up, it was Derrick Rose who had agreed to a 3-year, $43 million deal to return to the New York Knicks. The Evan Fournier deal was 4 years, about $78 million. Solomon Hill is going to return to the Atlanta Hawks. Dwight Howard is coming back to the Los Angeles Lakers. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, I guess. You know, he tried to see if the grass was going to be greener on the other side of Philadelphia. It just didn't work out like that. He said, hey, you want to know what? I already want to ring with the Lakers. I'm going to go back and see if we can do it again. Gary Trent Jr. is returning to the Toronto Raptors on a 3-year, $54 million deal. So, you know, and Clutch Sports agent, you know, Lucas Newton was part of the negotiation that got Trent the deal. Trevor Ariza is finding his way back to Los Angeles after, how long has it been? 12 years? Yeah, I want to say it was 12 years. He was on that Lakers squad back in 2009. When Kobe returned to the finals in a winning fashion. Shouts out to the Black Mamba, rest in peace. Mike Muscala has landed a 2-year, $7 million deal to return to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Zach Collins has agreed to a 3-year, $22 million deal with the San Antonio Spurs. That's a nice little pickup. Furkan Korkmaz has agreed to a 3-year, $15 million deal to stay with the Philadelphia 76ers. Dougie McBuckets, Doug McDermott, 3 years, $42 million to go to San Antonio. And that to me is a very solid pickup for the Spurs. Boban Marjanovic is going to be coming back for another season with the Dallas Mavericks. Mo Harkless, 2 years, $9 million deals to the Sacramento Kings. Jeff Green has agreed to a 2-year, $10 million deal with the Denver Nuggets. I feel like he can be a solid contributor. You know, he's a very good intangible player. Very good role player. The ultimate NBA journeyman. But, you know, he's a solid contributor to whatever team lands him. That's definitely, like I said, a solid pickup. Kyle Lowry going to the Miami Heat, man. That's something that is just 3 years, $90 million. Now, I want to talk about that for a second. I am all for the Heat getting Kyle Lowry. Like, all for it. I think it's great that they went out and got somebody that would fit their team to a T. But what I'm not a big fan of is that you went out and got somebody who's 35 years old, 35 and a half, right? He's going to be turning 36 March 25th. You went out and got somebody who, okay, I'm trying to be nice about this. He's getting old, man. He's NBA age, you know, in NBA years. He's old, and you signed him to $30 million a year. Don't get me wrong. Kyle Lowry is Kyle Lowry, and you know what comes with the name Kyle Lowry. He's coming off of a season where he averaged 17 points and 7 assists. Like, don't get me wrong. Kyle Lowry is still going to be a solid contributor to a team. Like, he shoots 30. He just came off of shooting 40% for the three-point line. He's never been a very efficient score, right? For his career, he's a 42% score. But nonetheless, it's a thing of, you know, he's a solid contributor. He has a great heart. You know, he takes charges like no other player ever that I've seen in my lifetime. I've never seen a player take charges like Kyle Lowry. I'm being dead honest. That dude is... He's usually the smallest guy on the court who's taking the biggest charges. Like, you know, it is what it is. Dude is, he got heart. He does. He has heart, man. But $30 million for Kyle Lowry? $30 million. You couldn't pay me to pay him that. And I'm a fan of Kyle, but no. Like, go and get him. Yes, of course. I'll maybe sign him for 20 to 22 million. But 30? A year? Man, listen. But Kyle, go get your money, brother. Go get your money. Make sure that you stay healthy. Make sure that you show them that you're worth it. Because you know how Miami can get. They'll trade you in a heartbeat. You know, Miami and Boston, them two teams, they ain't afraid to, you know. We know. The Phoenix Suns and Chris Paul, team run it back. 4 years, $120 million deal. Go and get your money, Chris. Free agent Torrey Craig has agreed to a 2-year deal worth $10 million with the Indiana Pacers. Duncan Robinson. Woo! Tim Duncan David Robinson. Duncan Robinson, that's a hell of a name. 5-year, $90 million contract to stay with the Miami Heat. That's the largest deal ever for an undrafted player. Like, ever. Yeah, it's... way to go, Duncan. Because we already know you can light it up on the floor. TJ McConnell has agreed to a 4-year, $35 million contract to stay with the Indiana Pacers. Tim Hardaway Jr., 4 years, $74 million to stay with the Dallas Mavericks. Mike Conley, 3 years, $72 million. I feel like that's the type of contract that Kyle Lowry should have had. Plus, it would have kept some more cap space open for the Heat just in case if it's like, let's go get that one more guy. Clippers have not been making a lot of noise so far. And I gotta say, man, why they gotta go and try and get Hassan Whiteside. They gotta go and try and get Hassan Whiteside, man. And you know what y'all gonna need, and you know that you're gonna need the post presence. You know you're gonna need a very good rebounder, a very efficient big man. Go and find a way to get Hassan Whiteside. Just do it. Kelly Olynyk. 3 year, $37 million to the Detroit Pistons. Jared Allen has agreed to a 5-year, $100 million contract to stay with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I feel like that was essential for Cleveland to do. They need to keep Allen. They need to make sure that Sexton is, happy in his role. They just got to make sure that, the team that they do have can just, gel together. And they're young players that can develop, and they can definitely develop in the right way. So, I definitely think that this is something that, Cleveland can be making the right moves going into the right direction. But signing, Jared Allen, 5 years, $100 million, to stay there is definitely a good way to start off. As I already said, Nerlens Noel is one of the people who's returning to the New York Knicks. That's a 3-year, $32 million contract. The Alec Burke deal was a 3-year, $30 million contract. I had already said, I mentioned that Lonzo Ball is going to the Chicago Bulls. That's on a 4-year, $85 million contract and a sign and trade agreement. This has definitely been an interesting start to the free agency. And I definitely think that for what it is, right? And what we still can see coming, there's still moves to be made. And I think with that being said, anything can happen. Because, the rumors of Isaiah Thomas going back to the Boston Celtics, and I think that would be the move that the Celtics should make, just to get some good karma back on their side. I feel like karma might be the reason why the Celtics never made it back to the type of dominance that they had when they had Isaiah Thomas. And I think that curse was letting go of Isaiah Thomas the way that they did. And I think if they go and re-sign him again and they make amends, I kind of feel like just good karma can come over the Boston Celtics. I'm not, I'm a what comes around goes around type of guy. I'm not even going to lie to you. And I know when it comes down to the NBA, that's not usually how things work. But it was just like, for everything that Isaiah Thomas offered that team and everything that he put on the line for that team and all the beatings that he took for that team, all the great performances that he put on for that team, the least you can do is make sure that that's a team that he can call home, because he gave you guys everything that he possibly could, got you as far as any player, without a super team for the Celtics possibly could, you know, and out of respect, go and get him back. It's not going to get him back and make it his team again, but go and get him back. Right? Like, that was a place he was calling home. He was getting very comfortable. His teammates were getting very comfortable with him. Granted, a lot of them are not there anymore. But I feel like, at least from a leadership standpoint, and you saw the players that was on that team, you put, you know, a lot of other just solid players on that team and tell them to lead that team as far as Isaiah Thomas got them, they would not be able to do that. I feel like for what Isaiah Thomas was able to do with the team that Boston Celtics roster had, and that's not to talk down on that roster, but you know, that was not a Eastern Conference Finals roster. Okay, like, we can't sit back and pretend like that's an Eastern Conference Finals roster. Isaiah Thomas was the ringleader of a team that had amazing chemistry, but without that ringleader, they weren't gonna be able to, like, absolutely not. Which is why a lot of roster changes has happened in their attempt to stay relevant. And you know, like I said, go and get him. Go and get him. I know I'm not one to talk. But let's see for what it is. Now, you got to remember, these are the negotiations with the free agents, right? The official signings, you know, are going to be, you know, August 6th. Starts at 12:01 p.m. Then after that, you know, the 8th through the 17th is going to be the summer league. Then the training camp, then the regular season starts October 19th. So there's still some ways to go. Okay, and with that being said, we don't know what's gonna happen. But nonetheless, John Collins, you know, and I'm gonna name a couple of people that's out there. DeMar DeRozan, John Collins, Kawhi Leonard, Dennis Schroeder. Like, there's definitely people out there that, you know, anybody can snatch up in a moment's notice. Anyone can snatch them up in a moment's notice, and I'm just like, hey, we gonna have to see what happens, right? We're gonna have to see what happens. But I do definitely think that this is something that is extremely complicated. I'm not even gonna lie. I'm going to use the word complicated. And it's just for the simple fact of a lot of these moves made sense. Some of them, it kind of seemed like it was a desperation type of thing, and I don't understand why. Like the Miami Heat and how they offered, you know, the $30 million for Kyle Lowry, that seemed like a desperation move. I couldn't imagine why they would offer so much money. I personally don't get it. But hey, maybe I'm not supposed to, right? Like, maybe there are some things that we need not know. And, you know, that's just what it is. But nonetheless, I do definitely think, you know, that it's interesting, to say the very least. It's going to be interesting. And also entertaining. But, you know, and now that we're done with the free agents, or the free agent, the notables for tonight, that does not mean that we're done with the show. Okay, I actually have a couple more things that I want to go over, and some things that I think should happen. First and foremost, I think Lonzo Ball, you know, he has a pretty solid deal with the Chicago Bulls. Now I think he should try and get traded to the Charlotte Hornets. Charlotte Hornets already have Lonzo's little brother, LaMelo, rookie of the year. Shout out to LaMelo Ball. They have been working very closely with LiAngelo Ball. And I think it's time for all three Ball brothers to just be on the same team again. I think it's honestly that time. They showed the world, you know, back at Chino Hills, what happens if they're all on the same team. And that was in high school. And I get it, high school versus the pros, two completely different things. But the way how they ran the court in high school was just unbelievable. Nobody could keep up. And I think a lot of that has to do with the chemistry that they have. And not everybody has that chemistry that's just, you know, embedded in them. The Morris brothers, I felt like, had that chemistry. The Morris brothers were amazing together. Marcus and Markeith in Houston, their symmetry was great. Houston didn't have a good team, if we're going to be 100% honest about it. And the Morris twins just didn't get enough time on the court as well. But the Morris twins, when they were on the court, it was very good symmetry. And I think having Lonzo Ball go to Charlotte would make a lot of sense in terms of the wing and backcourt combination. You would be set. You would have three brothers that can stay on the court for 40 minutes each. Of course, you know, you're going to have to do subs and whatnot, but it's like you got three brothers that can be on the court for 40 minutes each. You have two of them that are floor generals. Two of them, honestly, we're at the point where all three of them are great shooters because Lonzo definitely stepped up. Two of them are very good defenders. So like I said, you look at the combination of two floor generals, three good shooters, two defenders, and three brothers who already have great symmetry with each other. Well, I mean, where do you really go wrong with that? There's going to be naysayers. There's going to be non-believers. There's going to be people who are optimistic about it. I say try it out. See what happens. It can't get any worse, right? Like, it can't be any worse. At the very least, I think they make playoffs. And if anything, I say, hey, maybe they should go and get Hassan Whiteside. Imagine Hassan Whiteside with the Ball brothers. They have the inside presence. They would have the outside presence. They would have the defense. Like, that'd be a strong starting lineup. That'd be a very strong starting lineup. So I would say, hey, give it a shot. Well, the Miami Heat already have Kyle Lowry, so I mean, at this point, you might as well try and go get DeMar DeRozan, right? You know, bring the boys back in town. Instead of having Serge Ibaka, you would have Bam Adebayo, who's better than Serge Ibaka. Not that you're trying to remake that Raptors team, of course not. But I think having DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry back on the floor together and reunite, I think that would be a very good feel-good moment. I'm not sure if that's actually going to happen. But if it was to happen, it would be very nice. It would be very nice to see. But teams aren't going for very nice to see. Teams are going for, we got to get this done. And I completely understand that. Other moves that I think, you know, should be made. Carmelo Anthony to any team who has championship opportunities. You know, the biggest rumor right now is Carmelo Anthony's going to the Lakers. I mean, at this point, it might as well happen, right? Like, I wanted Carmelo on the Lakers back when, you know, Carmelo was a young gun. I don't want old Carmelo. But that doesn't mean I'll reject old Carmelo. I feel like seeing him and LeBron on the same team is also going to be one of those feel-good moments for Lakers fans or for, you know, just LeBron fans or just Carmelo fans or just fans of that draft class or that era. I definitely think seeing, you know, LeBron and Carmelo on the same team together is definitely, you know, that feel-good moment. A lot of people that have played with LeBron have been from that 2003 draft class. You know, one of the best draft classes in history. I feel like it's the third best draft class in history. I feel like number one is the 96 draft class. Number two is the 1984 draft class. And number three
is the 2004 draft class. We've seen some historically great draft classes, you know, all in all. But I definitely think, you know, I think most people think that that is easily a top three draft class of all time. Some people say that it might be the greatest draft class of all time. I'm just like, nah, it wasn't deep enough. Like, now the top members of that draft class, you know, LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, Chris Bosh, like, those are, you know, very, you know, some of them are top tier players. Some of them are, like, you know, top 10, top five players. But, you know, no, nonetheless, though, great draft class, all in all. But it just wasn't as deep as the 96 or the 84 draft class. But that has nothing to do with anything. LeBron and Carmelo on the same team would definitely be, you know, great to see. Would definitely be great to see. I'm trying to think, as a matter of fact, as I'm going over this, I'm trying to think, like, are there any other, you know, really, I really want to see this moment. Oh, well, you know, Kawhi Leonard, I feel as if Kawhi should re-sign with the Clippers. He turned down his player option, apparently. And I don't know, maybe it's just to get more money. You know, that definitely could be the case. But, you know, like I said, like, nonetheless, I think if he's not going to go back, you know, if something happens and he doesn't go back to the Clippers, I feel as if, you know, or maybe they can make a sign and trade happen or something. I don't know. But me personally, I would like to see Kawhi Leonard in Utah. Kawhi Leonard and Donovan Mitchell next to each other would be absolutely amazing. And it would be something where, like, Donovan Mitchell's not much of a trash talker. Like, you don't see Donovan Mitchell. You see him at time wear his emotion on his sleeve, right? Which is completely opposite of Kawhi Leonard. But when it comes down to the work ethic, when it comes down to being that guy that just people can't stop, you just got to hope that they're having an off day or something like that. Donovan Mitchell was the smaller version of Kawhi Leonard. Like, he's that guy where it's just like, you can't stop him from being good at his game. Now, you can put some of the best defense on him, and it's just like, you just got to hope that he's just not going to have a good game. Because I've seen some great defense thrown on Donovan Mitchell, and he was just like, man, if you don't get out of my way. There's nothing the kid can't do. He can shoot from mid-range. He can shoot from long range. He can dunk. Great layup package. Great handles. Great floor vision. Like, dude's crazy. So I think him and Kawhi Leonard would definitely be a great duo. Or I would like to see I would like to see Kawhi Leonard possibly go to the New York Knicks. Do I think it's gonna happen? Absolutely not. But I would like to see it. You know, him next to Julius Randle and Derrick Rose, I think that would be a very good tandem. You know, Derrick Rose has shown, hey, I didn't drop off the face of the earth. I'm still relevant when it comes down to me being on the floor, and I can still make an impact. I'm not an MVP caliber player anymore. You know, all-star caliber is debatable. But impact? No, I can definitely still make an impact. And salute to Derrick Rose for showing the world that, because, you know, I don't know anybody in the world that was really against Derrick Rose. He's one of the most beloved superstars in NBA history. Like, nobody really didn't like Derrick Rose, or nobody hated Derrick Rose. I saw some holes in his game back when he was younger. It's because of his lack of a jump shot, but now he became a very good jump shooter, so it was like, hey, like, you know, sometimes injuries do change the way that players play and make them play a more efficient, ranged game because they can't afford to go to the basket that much, you know, and risk injury. So it's like, hey, I got to work on another way to get the ball in the hole. And Derrick Rose is definitely somebody who did that, and salute to him. But with Derrick Rose being somebody who showed, hey, I'm still reliable. You know, I can still get you 15, 18, 20 a game. With Julius Randle showing I am exactly who Brandon told y'all I was. Thank you. Sorry, I had to have my moment for a second. With Julius Randle showing the world, hey, like, I'm big time. You give me the ball and I'm going to figure things out. Now, granted, did it go like that for him in the playoffs? I hate to say it, but no, it didn't. But it's A-okay that it didn't. And the reason why is because there was, you know, it was his first time being in the playoffs. And not only was it his first time being in the playoffs, it was, you know, he had a lot of physical pressure on him going against the Hawks. They're, you know, they have two very good big men between, you know, Collins and Clint Capella, who can be very, very hard-nosed defenders. And, you know, Julius Randle was the guy for New York. But he plays the position of a big man. And, you know, when you have two defensive big men going against one well-rounded or one offensive big man, it's going to be hell for that big man. You know, just like how it was hard for people like Pau Gasol or Andrew Bynum when he had Kendrick Perkins and Kevin Garnett to look out for. It was like, oh, man, like, you know, both of these guys are defenders. I'm not going to go out there and get 20 a game. It's not going to happen. But nonetheless, it's like you still got to be able to keep your head in those type of situations. But it was Julius Randle's first time. And, you know, he made a name for himself. Just like how I told y'all he was going to make a name for himself. Just like I told y'all he was going to step up. Just like I told y'all he has the potential to be a man, the man for a team. And he went out and he showed that. I think with his hard work, with his dedication, you know, he is somebody who has done his best to emulate Kobe's work ethic. And, you know, he's went out and he's talked about it, about how much he thinks about Kobe and the way that Kobe kept him in the gym instead of, you know, going to see certain family members or friends on the road, you know, during road games or, you know, so on and so forth. And, you know, Kobe kept him in the gym. And that's something that he adopted. That's a mindset that he adopted of, you know, constantly working on your game and becoming better. So when you put Kawhi Leonard next to somebody with that type of work ethic, with that type of, you know, the skill level that he is developing, that Julius Randle was developing as well, I definitely think that, you know, seeing Kawhi Leonard next to that on one of the best defensive teams in the NBA right now, you really can't go wrong. Because the only thing that they need is more scoring. Right, defense clearly isn't a problem for them, but adding more defense ain't, you know, that's only going to be a plus. It's going to be something where it's like you go and get Kawhi Leonard, you know, you're not a bottom scoring team anymore. Now Kawhi by himself can at least put you in mid-level. And then you got Julius Randle who can still go out there and average like 24, 25 a game. So it's just like between those two players, you can get 50 points a game, but just between those two players. Then you add in Derrick Rose. It was like, oh, wait a minute. I can really get 65 to 70 points a game between these three players. And it's crazy to think that that's actually a thing. But, you know, put that together, and it's like, wow, you know, you could really have some trouble for the league if something like that happens. Got Kawhi is one of the best wing defenders in the league and one of the best defenders in league history, if we're going to be blunt about it. But still able to go out there and get you 25 in the regular season, 30 in the postseason. Next to, you know, Julius Randle, who can go out there and get you a triple-double. Almost, you know, any game that he really needs to do it, he can go out there and do it. His passing is a bit underrated, if you ask me. I think, honestly, if you ask anybody who really pays attention to his game, his passing is underrated. You know, he ain't out there going out there, you know, making LeBron-level passes, but it's like he's showing his eyes are open out there, and he's willing to, you know, get the ball to the open man. So, yeah, like I said, Kawhi Leonard to the New York Knicks, that is definitely something that piques my interest. Not as much as it does the Utah Jazz, right? Because him, Conley, Mitchell, like, it's going to be a defensive war zone out there. It's like, you know, you're going to go a whole, against a whole defensive army. You add Kawhi Leonard to that. On top of the fact of, like I said, Kawhi is going to give you 25, 26 during the regular season, 30 during the postseason. And Donovan Mitchell is the same way. Donovan Mitchell gave you 25 during the regular season. And then postseason comes, his efficiency goes up, his scoring goes up, his defense is better. It's like, yo, it's like Donovan Mitchell go crazy, man. Shout out to Spider. I already got 3 pairs of your sneakers, and I'm going to get 3 more. In all honesty, I wouldn't be surprised if my whole entire shoe rack ends up being nothing but the Adidas Don series. Because I love your sneakers, bro. But at any rate, like I said, those are just some of the things that I personally would like to see. I would also like to see, like I said, Hassan Whiteside to the Clippers. I would like to see, you know, somebody like Miles Turner going to... if I saw Miles Turner going to Charlotte Hornets, like, if I see Lonzo Ball going there, and then they pick up Miles Turner... So that they have that interior defense and, you know, somebody who can grab those rebounds and put it up. It's like, yo, like, that would be something that's just like, oh, man, Charlotte could actually be a threat in the East all of a sudden. But, you know, it's all about having the right pieces and putting the right things together. But nonetheless, like I said, it's nothing has been reported on those type of get-togethers. Except for, you know, the fact that Charlotte Hornets were very interested in getting Lonzo. That was it. But, you know, if we were allowed to use our creativity and our imaginations for a second just to think about what that would be like and how much of a threat some of these teams would actually be with those key players, well, you know, turnaround is fair play, right? Turnabout is fair play. And it doesn't make any team a super team to make those type of moves, but I'm not asking for a super team. Even though I'm a Lakers fan, they just got, you know, Russell Westbrook. Fan of him or not, you know, he is who he is. He's a very versatile point guard who can, you know, people, I'm one of those guys that's like, oh, you know, he's padding his stats and, you know, doing this, that, and the third for them triple-doubles. And to this day, I still do believe it. But nonetheless, they do translate to wins in the regular season. In the postseason, they do not. He doesn't adjust his game. He doesn't know how to shoot the three-pointer. He needs to work on a lot of things. But winning games in the regular season is not one of those things he needs to work on. He's already pretty good at that. But, you know, just using that as an example, basically. But nonetheless, once again, you know, we are back. NBA Clutch Time is back. I want to thank anybody and everybody who, you know, sat back and was able to be patient with me. You know, some distribution issues was happening. But we are back. And, you know, now you get to hear the content that that you've been missing. Trust and believe that I miss you guys as well. And I want to thank you for listening in. Other than that, I hope everybody has a great day. And I wish everybody well. You know, I know, you know, in this country, we are not where we need to be in terms of this whole COVID thing. There's been numbers going up and whatnot, but I do definitely think that not only will we survive as a unit, we can overcome as a unit. So once again, much love to all my listeners and all my supporters. And I do definitely deeply appreciate you guys. But that's all I got for you tonight. And I want to once again say thank you. I love y'all. Y'all have a, you know, I hope y'all have a great day and an even better night. Take care.